Genesis, the 19th chapter, the first 11 verses are not fun to read. More than that, they're not fun to think about seriously. And I think you and I, at times, fall trapped to the concept that something that happened 3,900 years ago is not relevant today. And I think that most of you that attend here or have for a while know that I try to be a half-full glass kind of a person. That I, by design, try to look at things positively. And I don't subscribe to the fact that we're worse in America than Sodom and Gomorrah were. But things are changing. And an army that is aware of the changing times is an army that is aware not only of the commitment that we need to make, but the strength that it's going to take to stand in the future for those basic kinds of principles that we have long been used to. To evidence the point of the change, this was a news article front page this past week. Faculty and staff members are leaving Georgia-based Shorter University in droves due to the school's new requirement that they sign a lifestyle statement renouncing homosexuality, among other things. The website reports that at least 50 employees have resigned from the Baptist University, which last fall announced its plans to incorporate the lifestyle statement into faculty and staff contracts for the upcoming academic year. The statement asks that signatories reject homosexuality, adultery, premarital sex, drug use, and drinking in public near the Rome, Georgia college campus. It also requires the faculty to be active members of a local church. That's today. Let me tell you about Shorter University. I think many of you here know that I met my then not wife, but now wife, Judy, at Grand Canyon then college, now university. I rescued her. That college and Shorter University are sister colleges. When we went there, you couldn't even hold hands on campus. Interdigitalization, they called it. That's a long word for sin. So we're not just talking about someone that's conservative. We're talking about someone that's a little bit to the right of right. And this statement this week, concerning a significant number of staff resigning their jobs because of a statement of a college that is supported by what our society deems to be a conservative right-wing religious body. I'm not here to defend the Baptist. I am here to say that this is a sign of the times. And it is a scary sign of the times. I used to be a proponent of keeping this kind of information from the minds of the youngsters. But I'm telling you what, they're facing it now. They're facing it in their friends, and I'm not saying participation. But they're facing a prevailing attitude that it is not American, that is not right to say that this is wrong, that this is sinful. So education needs to take place. It needs to come from those that are respected as great educators, and that's the parents. It needs to come from our school administration, and it is doubtful that will occur. It needs to come from the pulpit, and that's going to occur. I want to study with you this morning Genesis, the 19th chapter, verses 1 through 11. In those verses, we see three extremes. One, we see the degradation on the part of the men of Sodom. Second, we see the holiness of the angels. And third, we see the resistance in Lot as he sought to defer the evil men away from his house guests. To properly understand, I believe, the lesson, we must first learn of the characters. Must first have a grip with regard to what the characters are and what they stand for. First of all, Lot. As we studied last Sunday night, Lot, a kinsman of Abram, who parted from Abram because they both had such large herds that the land could not bear them, and the herdsmen started having conflict one with another. And the text says in Genesis 13 and verse 12 that he went toward Sodom. I want you to remember the word toward. Lot went toward Sodom in order that the herds would have access to grazing land. He's not in the city, but he chose to go close to the city. Second, the angels. They were sent there to warn of destruction because of the evil nature of Sodom, and they were sent to tell people to get out of town. The Lord's vengeance is going to come upon the city. Third, the men of Sodom. Today, they're called homosexuals. Some people call them gay. Some people call them queer. Ugly word. Wasn't so ugly 50 years ago. I'll tell you something. By definition, the word just means different in lifestyle, and indeed they are different, but not so different as 50 years ago. Those men paint a vivid picture of the most depraved nature that one can imagine. I think that when we're trying to put into our mind a definition of the men of Sodom, we need to note that homosexuality wasn't their only sin. Look, if you would, in the book of Ezekiel, the 16th chapter, verses 49 and 50. And that expands our knowledge concerning these people that were at Lot's door. Look, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughter had pride, fullness of food, and abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy, and they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw fit. You're a puffed up people. They're a prosperous people. The cities was doing well from a physical standpoint. They didn't care about the poor. They were a classed, divided kind of people. And they were homosexual. Those men whose acts have been identified by name, the name of their city, are now trying to make it legitimate. four, Lot's daughters. The final characters of this 11-verse part of the Bible. They're pictured in this text as virtuous, but if you look later in verses 12 through 38, you see that they were also decadent. Now, we've introduced the cast. Let's look at the first three verses and see what it teaches us. I want you to visualize the fact that Lot was at the gate. The entry into towns like Sodom and others in that day and time was restricted. Walls restricted, kept people in when they wanted to flee from an administration that they didn't like, and kept people out during wartime. It was restricted so that being at the gate of the city was being at the entry. It's sort of like a gated community today and a guardhouse there. There's where Lot was. He was at the gate of the city. We see from another passage that Lot is more than what is just talked about in the book of Genesis. If you look at 2 Peter, the second chapter, verses 7 and 8, we see there, and if he rescued righteous Lot, Peter wrote, oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men, for by what he saw and heard that righteous man while living among them felt his righteous soul tormented day after day with their lawless deeds. Lot was day by day affected negatively by the society in which he lived. I wonder if it could have been that Lot stationed himself at the gates to warn strangers of the dangers that were ahead. It may have been his way to offer hospitality. And if so, that a righteous trait in itself of the man Lot. This much we do know. He met the angels in a respectful manner and he showed godly hospitality. And that brings to mind Hebrews the 13th chapter and verse 2, where the Bible reads, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it." That's Lot and his house guests. We can learn from Lot about hospitality and respect for others. Godly traits in the protecting of the guests. In verses 4 and 5, we see the evil designs of the Sodomites. They're like a pack of wild dogs seeking pleasure. Year after year and century after century, that is a pervasive trait of those that are evil, seeking some new thrill, new partners for their lust. Men of homosexuality are a threat. Let me say that again. We have been told, and we have been told not to be aggressively against homosexuality because they do their own thing, and that they are no danger. That's not true. They are a danger. Isaiah 3 and verse 9 says, "They do not hide it." That shows that it is a public way of life that they push. They don't just contain. Philippians 3 and verse 19, they glory in their shame. Don't be fooled that they're passive. They are not passive. Nor in our society or in the society at Sodom. Another point, verse 4 and 5, is that the Sodomite society was so perverted that the older men were involved. That's a sad contrast to the older men that could have been. Solomon said in Proverbs the 16th chapter and verse 31, the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Old does not automatically equate to righteousness. As seen in Genesis the 19th chapter. Indeed, there is God's glory in aged righteousness, but the opposite is true. When one separates himself from God. Verses 6 through 8, we see Lot's effort to deter the Sodomites. Can you just imagine what the effect would be on a righteous person to hear such a proposal? Do you consider yourself righteous? Well, from a self-defining standpoint, I'm sure that most of you would say, be careful with that word. But I know a lot of you pretty good, and I think that there's a lot of righteous people at this place. I want you to just stop and think for a moment what it would be to have someone knock at your door with a mob. And you go to the door, a righteous person goes to the door and hear a proposal like that. Can you imagine the feeling? I can't even imagine the feeling. What would there be to suggest that Lot would feel any different in hearing such a decadent proposal than we would be? He reacts to that. I think that there are three specifics in these verses that we need to think about. First of all, the guarding of the guests, the duty of a host to provide an environment of safety. I would suggest to you that that is a righteous characteristic. Not all righteous characteristics manifest themselves spiritually. Some righteous characteristics manifest themselves physically. That is a righteous characteristic. He exposed himself to danger. He closed the door behind him, taking away his small but only protection from the mob. And there he was. He was bold. Bold in what? Bold in condemning the plans of the mob. I've got to tell you, that's not easy. You know. Many of you who work in environments of many people know that it is not bold at coffee break to say that this or that is wrong. It's not bold to say, I can't go with you after work because that's wrong what you're doing. It's difficult to do. It's difficult to tell your neighbor, I can't come and do that with you because X is just wrong. You find that easy? That's not easy. We stand in the pulpit and in these enclosures with people of like precious faith, and we sometimes give a false sense to the young people that standing for what's right is going to be convenient and easy. It isn't going to be that way. Lot knew it. With the door closed and the mob ready to do him harm, But he was bold. Let us never be so accustomed to sin that we are not bold in condemning it. Lot makes a sinful proposal. He does what Paul condemns in Romans, the 3rd chapter, in verse 8. Let the end justify the means. Sin is never countered with sin. It is not according to God's plan. It may seem like a good idea from a logic standpoint, but it's never the right thing to do. No matter the frustration, we cannot join in the sin to condemn the sin. And that's what Lot did. Verse 9, we see the Sodomite response. And I want you to just note for a minute the similarities between the Sodomite response and today's responses to our rebukes of sin. Notice the similarities. They threaten Lot by calling him an outsider. Have you ever been called an outsider because of your belief? Have you ever been told that your belief is old-fashioned? Have you ever been informed that your belief won't work in today's society? Who hasn't been told? If you haven't been told that, you haven't expressed your belief enough. Who hasn't seen the look? You know the look. Well, a rejection tactic of those who follow Satan. And now the main accusation. Lot, you can't judge me. But then Jesus says, in John 7 and verse 24, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. So insofar as Jesus is concerned, we are commanded to be judges, are we not? How can we live acceptably and not judge? The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 2, 3, 4, and 5 condemned the Corinthians for not judging. Get it? Righteous judging is a righteous trait. Being a busybody is condemned. Pointing out error without an attitude of love is condemned. Recognizing those things that are sinful with hopes of correction is a righteous trait. But it never will be convenient. It may be more psychologically inconvenient than physically, like with Lot, but it's there. Happens to Christians every day. So, what's the message to us concerning that? It is that whether you live in Houston, Texas, or Phoenix, Arizona, we must not be deterred from exposing sin by those who call names. Just can't be. Do you see how relevant this is to 2012? Finally, in verses 10 and 11, we see the angel's actions. It's evident by this point in the account that the men of Sodom intend to take the angels by force. They're going to knock the door down, and they saved Lot by pulling him inside. And they struck the Sodomites blind, and thus you have divine punishment on the spot. So that's the facts. What do we learn from the facts? Learning the facts is not enough. What do we learn from the facts? Number one, there's danger in moving toward sin. Now, talking about participating in sin, there's danger in moving in sin's direction. Pitching our tent like Lot did in chapter 13 and verse 12 of Genesis, trying to water down and excuse the statement by the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 22 that says, abstain from the very appearance of evil. You know what Lot didn't do when he pointed toward Sodom? He didn't avoid the very appearance of evil. That's what he didn't do. We can be faithful when evil is all around. We are not promised to be in the majority. We can be a righteous person, Lot was, and danger was at every corner of his life. Evil was at every corner. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 4, they are surprised that you do not run with them to the same excess of dissipation, and they malign you. You know why that is? Because we are the called out. Out of what? Third, the nature of sin is that it gets worse and worse as it runs its course. As we apply ourselves to godliness, we become more and more spiritual. And the same is true on the opposite end of the spectrum. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13, but evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. We see in Sodom the same characteristics as with the Gentiles in the first chapter of the book of Romans. Sin grows. Fourth, God's children are never silent in the face of evil. There are no closet Christians. Lot wasn't deterred by peer pressure, by physical harm, and by name calling. And you and I know very well that we must fight the fight. We must keep the course. And the fight's outside these walls most of the time. Sin is not the answer to sin, we learn. John 8 and verse 29, and he who sent me is with me, he has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him, is what Jesus said. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, for this purpose you have been called, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example to follow in his steps. When we justify with the end, the means that we use that are sinful, we at the same time say that Christ would have done the same and he was without sin. Finally, we learn that God punishes the wicked. In Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, in verse 14, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it's good or whether it's evil. And in 2 Peter, the 2nd chapter, in verse 9, the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of punishment. So last week, we asked the question, what do we learn from those who are dead but yet speak? And I suggest to you that 3,900 years ago, some profound events occurred in a city named Sodom. And if we don't learn from those, history has a tendency to repeat itself. God gave us these things that we might learn his will. Take out the songbook that you have before you and turn to the song of invitation. The Lord is clear concerning the steps of salvation.
The Lord is clear in teaching us that we must believe the Word of God, that we must be willing to repent of our sins, that being brought about by godly sorrow, that repentance coming from the heart, deciding to do it God's way rather than man's way, doing what? Life. That we must be willing to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we must be willing to do that publicly and audibly. The Bible teaches that to get rid of our sins, those which Isaiah 59:2 says separates us from God, we must be baptized in water. Acts 2 and verse 38. Mark 16 and verse 16. And when we do that, we are added to the family of the Lord, to the church of the Lord. Acts 2 and verse 47. We invite you this morning to be a Christian. Come while we stand and sing. Who will